This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Wells Tech is on the air. This is Martin Spriggs, and we're at episode 407, and we're on Tuesday, August 25th, 2015, show about technology, ministry, where those two intersect, and I'm joined, as usual, by my pal, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin Spriggs, and welcome to a show about where technology and ministry intersect, and especially where they intersect with imagery. We're doing a special series these days.
That's the intersection we're on these days, where photography and ministry meet. So we've been talking about this little abbreviated summer series, Imagine That. So we're looking at all kinds of the different dimensions of photographs. We started talking about stock photography. Then we talked about taking your own photos. Last week we talked about manipulating, editing those photos, and now we're taking last week a little step further. Now you've got those photos the way you want them. What can you do with them, right?
That's right. This is fun stuff for me. I really like it when we get creative with our photography or our stock images, you know, to support perhaps a ministry theme, a sermon series or something like that, some promotional materials that you're putting together, or to just be part of the social conversation these days, Martin, because oftentimes graphics or imagery are used for complete communication with folks by, you know, doing some text overlays or creative filtering or a combination of the above. People are communicating with it.
We're working toward these gratifying moments where we've taken some raw stuff and repurposed it and made it into something. I had one of those light bulb moments, or the people I was talking to had one of those light bulb moments. I was doing some on-site final web training, and I got to the PicMonkey section and showed them how easy it was to take a photo that was just not the right size, not the right cropping, you know, didn't have any text or anything. I mean, they didn't know how to do it, and throw it into a tool like PicMonkey and their other tools like it, and come out the other end with a useful image that could be used on a web page, in a newsletter, whatever. And that's kind of where we're headed today, is being able to know what the right tools are and just kind of know what the possibilities are. It's not that you're kind of stuck with an image just the way it came out of the camera, but you can put images together, you can overlay with text. There's lots of things that you can do with it to fit the purpose that you want.
And yeah, I've been around for quite a while, Martin, trying to do all kinds of different, especially training programs, and have imagery to support it. And I'm the first to admit that those skills don't come naturally to me. So I'm really thankful for the kind of tools that are out there that make me look good, because it's not hard to do with some of the tools we're going to show today. And it does give you a professional look to it. Interestingly, we heard from a couple of our regular correspondents out there in the real world of ministry, a couple of our favorite pastors. First up, we heard from Pastor Rob Gunther, and he had a very timely article to share, a timely article that now has an advertisement overlaying it. Give me a second and I'll get rid of that. Very timely advertising they have there. Anyway, it's called Making Great Worship Graphics on the Cheap. And this is a Methodist minister down south somewhere, but a good blog that he follows just to get ideas and spark different ideas. And this guy does a lot of different image with text overlays and things like that to support some of his worship graphic needs. And so he talks through different tools to use, including some of the ones that we're going to show on today's episode. But perhaps a good blog post just to kind of spark some ideas for you as to how he uses it.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. You have, oh, there went my lights again, Sal. I've been too still.
You're in the dark today.
I'm in the dark. I'm back. I like these kind of articles, not necessarily because they're super instructional, because everybody's situation is a little bit different, but they show these examples. Maybe they spark some creative juices and give you an idea of what the possibilities are. And with worship graphics, what somebody else is doing, not that you have to use what they're doing, but you have an opportunity to look at what they've done and say, hey, maybe I could go this direction, or, you know, go that direction. Big images, big text. You know, this is not kind of PowerPoint 101 kind of stuff. It's a different style. So it's helpful to kind of see what other people are doing.
And one more thing that was shared with us, I don't have the link up on, in my bajillion links that I have opened, but a link to a blog that Pastor Emil Burgess shared. And it's very similar to what Pastor Gunther shared. They must be following our podcast series, and they had some timely stuff for us. So another example blog where the person who writes it shares similar types of graphics and things. So thanks, guys, for those links. We probably should jump into doing some.
Let's talk about some of the cool tools, huh?
And guess where we're going to start? We're going to start with my favorite, PicMonkey. Yeah, PicMonkey. Because last week we didn't really talk about making collages, and I think that's one way to communicate by mashing up multiple pictures. So I'm actually in the PicMonkey collage maker, and I have some sample photos, kind of a school theme, available to me over on the side, so you can upload your own photos. And it's real simple to just. Oh, thank you very much.
You were doing great job at describing it, but
yeah.
For those that are watching at home, it'd be nice to see it too.
So you can just grab the images that are over on the left-hand side of the screen, upload your own if you have them, and drag them into the collage maker. They give you different layouts, again, using the icons on the left to switch to different layouts. So if you were interested in three images in a row, for instance, you could easily switch to that. And they give you some extra complimentary swatches and things. So you might, you know, just use some colors or different swatches and things in some of your spots. So lots of tools that come along for the ride. But the beauty of PicMonkey is that you can unlock the dimensions so that you can resize your images to be whatever dimensions you want them to be by just dragging the areas, the side areas of it. You can also take away components of a collage by just Xing the box that existed there. And then amazingly, you can expand your collages. You guys ready to be amazed? By taking images and dropping them along borders of other images. So you're not tied down to PicMonkey's layouts that they provide for you, but you can add whatever types of layouts you want by just dragging and dropping even the internal edges of the various areas of the collage to different places, different widths and heights and things like that.
It's amazing to me, Sally, that they're able to do this within the context of a web browser. That this whole visually satisfying, visually rich environment exists right on the web and for free. It's very intuitive, I've found, and very easy for somebody just getting started, which is kind of the one of the requirements of some of the tools we're putting in this Imagine That series. Is it can't be daunting. It needs to be super easy, needs to fit cleanly in a workflow. So you're getting pictures in, you're figuring out what to do with them, where they're supposed to go, and then you get the job done. If you have to spend hours and hours on this, don't have time to do that. So a lot of these tools are just, you know, in and out, you know, drag and drop, just like you're doing. Just a perfect tool for that.
That's very true, Martin. And at the same time, you're grinning big PicMonkey grins while you're doing
you
it.
Right? Makes you happy. It makes you
That's
warm
right.
inside.
The last option available in the collage maker allows you to control the spacing between images, so the amount of the border around the different sections of the collage. You can even round corners all the way down to circular almost.
If you want to change the background color to match whatever background you're working with. Yeah,
that's right. There's even a little eyedropper icon where you can pick up a color from the image. Or there's the hexadecimal representations, so you can actually match to a particular hex code that you might be aware of. If you don't know what hex codes are, you better rewind, folks, because we talked about that in last week's show. When you're happy with your collage, you can go right into edit mode by opening from the collage the regular PicMonkey editor. And one thing we didn't show in edit mode is the text overlay. So while you're in edit mode, you can click a button to say add text. You can type in perhaps a favorite Bible verse or a back to school message or whatever it might be for your image. And then that text can be moved around on the page, placed in an open area like I've allowed in my collage. It can be resized and it can be changed to different fonts. And they give you a lot of great fonts there to choose from. And just like other components of PicMonkey, you can also pick up colors and things from the image for your text coloring. So I've added the title Back to School, and if I highlight all that text, I can click here in this sidebar area and pick up a color from my image for that text. And now I have a really nice collage of imagery with some text overlay that would be wonderful perhaps to share in social media or on my website or in a newsletter or whatever my needs are.
Very nice.
So that's cool. A little bit about what, PicMonkey can do for you.
Okay, cool. What's the next tool, Sally? I can hardly wait. You can't really top PicMonkey, but there's got to be some others.
Well, there's two others that I want to make mention of. The first one is called Canva, CANVA.com. And Canva allows you to do more desktop publishing kind of things. So they have different formats. For instance, if you're looking to do imagery that's a Facebook post size, you can select that. And once you select a particular format, then they give you just almost countless layouts that fit that format well. They show on the left side of the screen, and you can just scroll down and view lots more. My screen is still loading. And when you see one you like, you can click on it to bring it in. And then you could replace the imagery and the text that's here just by clicking on different areas. You can upload your own imagery. And it just gives you that really professional look. Like they've decided on the best fonts and placement and sizes and graphic elements to go along with whatever you want. Now, some of their imagery and things is what would you call that? I don't know what that overlay thing is called. I'm drawing a blank. Watermarked is what I'm thinking right of. And it does cost money, typically about $1 an image for some of the professional imagery that they include. Some of it's free and it's marked free, but others cost money. But you're not required to use the imagery they provided for you. You can upload your own. So you just go to the upload area. Probably have some in my upload area even, and pick your own imagery, and perhaps you would move it to the back so that the text shows up completely on top of it. So even if things are pay-far in the Canva world, you can just replace their pay-far imagery and turn it into a free graphic. And then you just download it and you can make use of it on whatever way that you need it. For the web, for social media, for sermon imagery, whatever it might be. Really easy to do.
Yep. And this is a newer tool. It hasn't been around as long as some of the other ones, but they've done a nice job as well. So a little bit different feature set, but I think equally as easy to use.
Mm-hmm. And then one more that I want to mention real quickly is a site called PictoChart. It has a little funny spelling, PicToChart.com. And on PictoChart, they have different layouts that are more infographic central. So infographics, reports, posters, and even some presentations where you can save your imagery in 4x3 kind of standard presentation size. And once you choose a particular style, then they give you examples to go from. So you can start with a completely blank infographic layout, or you can start with one of their examples. The thing that gets me excited about PictoChart, let's see if I can click on this to click create, is that they also have built in some ways to graphically turn data into presentable things. So if you click on a particular block, you can add things like, I want to say maybe it's under tools, like charts and maps and all kinds of things like that, where it actually has like the spreadsheet behind it that's driving it. And you can just put in your actual amount, you know, titles and numeric data. They have lots of different layouts to pick from. And then once you click insert to chart, it adds particular data elements to your graphic layout. So that's pretty cool in terms of building like an infographic. And basically you have kind of infinite amounts of these blocks that you can add. So you can make it as long as you need to. You guys have seen lots of infographics out there that are super long. Here's an example of one that I created for a class I took last semester. And I used PictoChart to do it. And each place where you see the change of color, the pink to the tan background, those are different blocks. And then in each block, I've brought in different graphical elements. You can combine those with text, use different fonts and coloring, and created this kind of long infographic that explains something about educational technology. So I did that using PictoChart. You know, there's a learning curve to each of these tools, but none of them are overwhelming. I'm really pleased with what I can do with PictoChart and Canva and PicMonkey. They all kind of serve different purposes for me, but when I have the need, it's nice to have them in my tool belt and be able to pull them out and use them to create different types of graphics.
Right. And they each kind of fill a niche, fill a need.
Exactly.
So it's good to know which tools you have at your disposal. And the good news is that for the most part, these are free tools. So you can kick the tires, play around with it. And then if one meets a need, then go ahead and use it. It's not really going to cost you anything other than the investment. Like you mentioned, you have time. And it's not a total no-brainer exercise, but if you put in a certain amount of time, you're going to get real comfortable with it. And you're going to be really efficient at some point.
You know, Martin, we shouldn't ignore the mobile side of things. And I will say that I know at least Canva has a mobile app where you can access your Canva account, the graphics you've created already, or you can make your own using their tools on your mobile device. One that I'm a big fan of on the Bible side of things is the YouVersion image capabilities. So you can actually tap on different Bible verses in your YouVersion mobile app and turn them into imagery that you can share easily with different connected social media accounts and things like that. So I make use of this one quite often, and they give you a good set of stock imagery that you can use behind the text, the Bible text, but you can also upload your own. So it kind of is unlimited what you can create with it as well. They give you different fonts and other ways to edit the layout and things like that. And I found it to be a really handy tool to have in my pocket on my mobile device.
Yeah, I don't remember if this is one of my picks or whether we presented as a ministry resource a while back. Now, back then, you couldn't upload your own. You were kind of stuck with what they had provided, but now you can. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does make it
nice. Complete typographic control. So if you've got a darker image, you maybe want to put white text over the top or vice versa, just so that that comes through. And they make it super easy to put together and then really super easy to share to Facebook, Twitter, or wherever. So.
Yep, I've enjoyed using their tools.
All right. Speaking of sharing, I see a familiar social network on our rundown here, Sally.
Well, probably just a good thing to mention that I've talked about Facebook and Twitter and sharing, but probably one of the most popular sites to share on is Pinterest. And this is what a lot of people are doing, and it's a great way to let your light shine or to let your ministry light shine, as it were. Perhaps your church may have a Pinterest page where you could share these kind of inspirational graphics with your followers. So just an idea for you I think Pastor Gunther even said maybe a manly use for Pinterest in the ministry setting. So
like
a little inspiration for you out there.
Yeah. Very nice. Now we've talked about some of these tools, maybe some of the applications for them. But at some point, everybody maybe wants to put these down on paper. So it's not always just digital for a website or a social network, but you may have need to put a print down or make a book. A lot of tools are available out there right now that will allow you to take these collages, these groups of pictures, images, text even, and publish, you know, into a book. And a lot of these services are super easy to use. Even your local Walgreens, you can, I know we've done this, you just send, you go online to their service, you upload your pictures, and you can have your printed photos, you know, within a couple hours. It's really super easy with tools like the Walgreens online app or tools like Snapfish. You hear a lot about those kinds of tools that will allow you to not just print photos, but do all kinds of things with your photos, different kinds of formats, framings, those kinds of things.
Yeah, and photo books are real popular. I know I did one when my father passed away. That was kind of a family gift after he had passed away, with all of our pictures with him, you know, combined into a book, a great memory. In a ministry setting, Martin, I'm thinking of schools, maybe small schools that aren't able to produce their own yearbooks. Someone creative could pull together the photos from the year, put them in some kind of a photo book of this sort. And, you know, maybe it would cost $15 per person or something to get a copy of the book, but I think you'd get quantity discounts the more that you had ordered, and you'd end up with a nice product, and, you know, not unreasonable to do as a do-it-yourself kind of project with the photos you have available.
I'm thinking my wife teaches art. Maybe their portfolio for the year, you know, could be put
in
these kinds of books, fairly low cost, and they've got something very nice to take home, put on the coffee table, that kind of thing. There are all kinds of other tools that do this. A tool that I've talked about a lot, Lightroom, allows you to do this. They use a third party called Blurb. Blurb.com. They have a nice online tool to do that. iPhoto on a Mac or on the Apple platform does that. Flickr, you can create those kinds of things as well. They may use Snapfish. I don't remember which third party they use, but you can do that there come up with a very nice product.
And one more thing that I teach my students when I teach image editing for MLC occasionally is that you can also create photo slideshows, or turn your photos maybe into a video format for embedding on a website or something. We would always do this at the end of Vacation Bible School. We'd have just a wonderful group of pictures that we had taken for Vacation Bible School that just showed so much happiness that happened all week long, and we'd throw them into a slideshow creator tool. And there's a lot of those out there, Martin.
Yep, Slidely is one that's really popular. I haven't used that myself, but a lot of people have a lot of flexibility. You put your images up there, and I think it will take images and video. It will collage them together and make a nice presentation of them. You can see lots of examples on their site just to inspire you a little bit. Very shareable, both on both on the web and also on mobile applications. Another one is called Smilebox. So you upload your photos, and very similar to Animoto, one that we've talked about as well, where you upload your images. You can pick a style or a theme. Is it a birthday? Is it summer travel? Is it a wedding? Is it family, something else? You have options of kind of using your creative juices there. And also with a tool like Animoto, not only can you upload images and video, but you can upload audio files. So you put it to music. And that always, in fact, they kind of give you a little bit of a walkthrough. You pick a style and a song. You customize your stuff. You can throw text on there. And then you hit the produce button, and out it pops. And most of these do a much better job than they used to about portability, so that they'll they'll push it out, not in just their proprietary format that you have to use their viewer online to view, but they'll do it in some kind of video format or allow you to upload it to YouTube or something like that. Makes a big difference in what you can actually do with it, put it on your website, those kinds of things.
Yeah, very fun tool to use. One thing that is a little sad about Animoto, they used to offer free accounts for educators, and you got 50 licenses to be able to use it with your students for free. Kind of, I think for free you normally can create like a 30-second video, but with the educator license you could go up to 10 minutes or so. I think they've begun to charge for that kind of licensing. It seems like it's a reasonable charge, and I remember reading the article, but I don't know the exact numbers in front of me right now, but still a very worthy tool to use in a school setting. It does give the kids a way to be creative with research they're doing or different projects they're working on.
So we will have some other tools that we didn't talk about online here in the show notes, so make sure you check that out. But that'll give you a good start in some of the possibilities. So you've got some editing tools, some collaging tools, some things that you could do with the physical photos that you could print, and online slideshows, just lots of applications for the photos that you have.
Martin, we should probably make mention that along with our summer series, we've also started a Wells Tech photo challenge, and maybe I'll share my screen and you guys can see the progress we've made. I'm really, really excited about the donations to the group pool that we've received so far. So the concept is that once a month we'll release a challenge. This month's challenge was outdoors and stained glass. And then folks are encouraged to upload images that they're donating to this public domain album on Flickr. And so far, so good. We've gotten some really beautiful imagery. So these images are here. You can begin to make use of these for those projects like we were just describing, as you have need to do imagery for different events or communication within your ministry setting. They're here for you to use, completely copyright free. So definitely make use of the album, but also visit our website, wellstech.wells.net /photo challenge. And we're here to announce that our September challenge is going to be school and Bible study related images. So if you have images yet to upload of outdoors and stained glass, you've got a few more days to do that for August. And then starting September 1st, we'll be asking you to upload school and Bible study images to the Wells Tech Photo Challenge.
Yep, and what we'd like you to do is actually go out with your camera and take those photos. Don't just necessarily go back into the archives. You can certainly do that, and we'll publish those because we want to share as many as possible. But the whole idea of a photo challenge is, you know, here's an assignment. Here's how you get better. Here are the subjects that we're all going to work on together. So I have a week yet. I haven't done mine yet, Sally, but I will. And I think this is just a great way to get to become a better photographer, is just some subject that you need to take. And all of these are going to be appropriate for ministry applications. So school and Bible study is September, but you still have time in here in August. So it's fun. Yeah. I like it.
And there's prizes involved. I don't have it all right in front of me, Martin. I got to do a better job of updating my mind map. But we would really like to reward you if you manage to submit all 12 months, starting with August. So you still have about a week to get those August images uploaded. And if you follow the challenge through the entire series of 12 months, you're going to be in a drawing for a really awesome photography-related prize. And there'll be other drawings as well. Just contribute, and we'll have you in drawings for that and some creativity challenges and things like that. So we have lots of tricks up our sleeve, and it's all to your benefit if you join the Wells Tech Photo Challenge.
All right. So that, again, is wellstech.wells.net/photo challenge. Take you right to the form where you can upload your images. And you can upload as many as you want. You can do it only 3 at a time, but yeah, feel free to have multiple submissions if you like.
Absolutely. We'll take
them all. Sally, we're going to wrap up this series next week, this Imagine That series. And one of my favorite topics, image storage and organization. You take all these pictures, you got to be able to find them. And we you may recall that we talked about this many, many moons ago. I remember kind of your organizational system. Let's see if that's changed or not. So we will talk about that next week. How do you manage all these photos that you're taking and need to find at some point? So that's next week as we wrap up the series.
I'll tip you off. I'm not a fan of change. So just so you know.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
Picks of the week. Sally, what's your pick this week?
Actually, I'm going to do a quick revisit of my pick from last week because yesterday I got mail from my friends at freeprints.com. Freeprints was the app that I recommended last week, and it allows you to get up to 85 free prints per month of images, and all you do is pay for the shipping. So if you're willing to wait on them to be shipped to you and pay for the shipping, which is reasonably priced, then you can get free prints. And this is 4x6 images. So I uploaded one of me and my sisters. I was on a recent trip and got to visit with them. If you get other sizes, then you have to pay for those. And I was very interested in what square photography would look like. I haven't before gotten prints of Instagram pictures.
Cool. I like that.
Isn't that neat? Yep. And so these are some that I actually created with the Bible app and did the text overlay of Bible verses on top of them. And I'm really excited about them. They're 5x5 and they cost 49 cents each to get a 5x5 print. So still very reasonably priced. Also in my package were a couple of little fun things. Really cool marketing. They sent me something that says, we want to deliver on time, so let us know when you receive this, and we'll give you a free 5x7 print. So I went out to their website, put in the code they gave me, and they gave me a code that I can use to redeem for a free 5x7 print. I'll just have to pay the shipping on that. And then they sent me something from somewhere called My Custom Case. It's another product where they do like photos on mobile device cases, so you can get a device case printed with your imagery on it. And they sent me a $10 gift card for that. I went and looked. Pricing is not cheap, so $10 probably won't motivate me to buy a custom
case. My daughter has one of those with my grandson's picture on it. It's adorable.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. So that wasn't my pick of the week. That was just a follow-up on last week's pick of the week. That's right.
That's right.
My actual pick of the week has to do with someone who's doing really great graphic design work with imagery, and that's my friend Katie Clennard Ellison, who works with Time of Grace Ministry there in Milwaukee. And she was a Wells Tech conference presenter. The title of her presentation was Take Your Social Media Ministry to the Next Level. And she shared with us her Prezi, her presentation that she used for that session. So I'm going to have a link to that in the show notes. But I just wanted to give you a little taste of what Time of Grace does. They have an Instagram account and they regularly share these motivating type imagery with the text overlay, really well done. And in this case, they do some branding on it as well. So you can see all throughout their imagery, they have the Time of Grace logo included. So that's an idea for you if you wanted to kind of start this effort, was maybe to include your branding on it as well. They also curate a Pinterest board, or actually 18 Pinterest boards. They have a Pinterest account, and they're constantly sharing those kind of inspirational images on the various boards. So they have a board called Inspiration, Scripture for Life, Dating and Marriage, Be Still, Pray Without Ceasing, Grace, all of these different boards that have this kind of inspirational imagery. So if you're looking for ideas of what you might do with your ministry, maybe visit the Time of Grace Pinterest board and check out some of their things that they're pinning and how they make use of Pinterest for that purpose. So just a follow-up on what we're talking about today. I think Time of Grace does a really great job with it. And especially Katie, thank you for sharing your knowledge at Wells Tech Conference.
I like it. Katie's a very talented lady.
Definitely. And,
we were really blessed to have her at the conference. We've been blessed to have her on the show before, talk about what she's doing there at Time of Grace. So thank you, Katie. Good pick. My pick, let me do a quick screen share here as well. This is a fairly new tool from Microsoft. And everybody knows that Microsoft makes PowerPoint, which is their presentation tool. This is kind of like the opposite end of the spectrum, but still in the presentation side of things. They made a tool called Sway. And Sway is a way to create what they say on the website is create and share interactive reports, presentations, personal stories, and more. What makes this really kind of nifty is that you can put this together, and there is a little bit of a learning curve. You have to figure out, you know, where images can go and where text can go, but they don't overwhelm you like with all the options that you would have in a PowerPoint. So you're throwing in images, text, you're highlighting, bolding things. You can put embed YouTube videos, charts, graphics of any type. And it works similarly to some of the tools that we were looking at before, like Canva and Pictochart, where you have the ability to throw all these in here. And with a click of a button, you can apply different themes and design and then share them in kind of neat ways, because you have the ability to share both on the web but also on mobile devices. And the kind of the magic of all this is it looks beautiful on whatever platform. So when we're in an age where we have people viewing content both on computers and iPads and iPhones and tablets and so on and so forth, you really need to present content that is going to look nice on all of those platforms. So they've done some really nice stuff here. And I think from a ministry perspective, I would be interested in churches who might take advantage of this to do their newsletter, or to do their annual report, rather than that stodgy, you know, paper thing that's got a staple in the upper left-hand corner. Why not use some visually appealing tools like this and put together your annual report? Your viewership might go up. Same with your newsletter. Those of you that are watching, here's just an example of how they've done it. You can do it in a couple of different ways. There's three different navigation schemes. You can go left to right, top to bottom, or kind of a paging mechanism. This is a scrolling one, more like an infographic. And you kind of see that there's built-in animations for some of their titles. There's call-outs. There's embedded maps. There's video that plays. It's kind of like an ebook. And the neat part is it's very easy just to drag and drop content on here. Type in your stuff, your quotes, your videos. You can even embed Twitter or Facebook feeds or posts. And it all just comes together, and you can click one button and change the whole style completely. So if you don't like the maybe contemporary theme that's been applied, you can do something more traditional. You can change the color scheme and then share it out. So the share button allows you to grab a quick link, or you can share it on Facebook, Twitter, Yammer, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Google+, or share this. Which lets you go to a lot of different other services. There's even embed code. So once you're done, you could embed it on your website. So lots of different applications here. Totally free. So there's really no cost to it. You do need a Microsoft account, which is also free. Once you have that, then away you go. These things are stored online. And there's some good tutorial videos out there. I'll include a link to that in the show notes as well, a whole series of people who have used the tool and really done some amazing things with this. I'm really excited about where this is all headed, because this kind of takes the drudgery out of, you know, putting together, you know, things that maybe aren't that exciting in and of themselves, like reports and newsletters, those kinds of things. So Sway, SWAY.com. My pick of the week.
That looks super fun, Martin. What if you want to print? I bet you could print them, huh? They probably have a print version.
I don't think so. I think this is really, you're in the digital world, period. So if you need to print, I think you're going to have to do that in a separate format. So it's definitely okay. Digital first. So
cool. Okay.
I'm looking forward to playing with it. Sounds all right. Good. Community feedback, shall we?
Yes, we shall. I have a few things to share today, starting with some correspondence from our friend Rob Gunther. And actually, figured out yesterday was Rob's birthday, so a day late, but a belated shout out to Rob on his birthday. And what he did was he made his Kindle ebook free for the week in honor of his birthday. So if you don't yet own In Their Sandals by Pastor Rob Gunther of Kenai, Alaska, you might want to hop on over there to the Kindle page. We'll have a link in the show notes and buy it with one click for $0 through this Friday. That would be August 28th. So thanks, Rob, for your generosity and sharing your ebook in that way. He also sent us links to a couple of cool technology things that he saw this week. The first of which is the fact that Samsung has invented a screen for the back of trucks. And what it shows is the road ahead. So a camera mounted in the front of the truck is showing the drivers who can't see around this huge truck what's ahead of them in the opposite lanes and stuff. I thought that was really, really cool.
Yep.
Save some people's lives, I'm guessing, with that kind of knowledge. And then the other thing he shared was a link to a Google Docs add-on called UltraDocs Email Designer. The idea is that you can design responsive emails in Google Docs. And then they've built in some tracking using Google Sheets to keep up with how many get delivered and opened and all those kind of things. Almost a competitor for something like MailChimp, but using your Drive account to make that happen. So if you're a Google aficionado, you might want to check out this Google Docs add-on called UltraDocs Email Designer. From Matt Nodling, who was someone who attended Wells Tech Conference, we met him this summer at Wells Tech Conference, he shared in the Wells Google Schools group this PDF document. It's called the Practical Ed Tech Handbook. And it's from Richard Byrne, who does the website freetechforteachers.com. And it covers things like communication, texting with parents and students, email management, blogging tools, web search strategies, digital citizenship for various age groups, video creation, audio recording and publishing, back channel, and digital portfolios. So some really timely topics as the school year is getting underway. Really great things to consider as you're thinking about educational technology in the classroom. And so you might want to download this free PDF document and give it a quick read. Next up, we had some communication, and this was from Professor Paul Grubbs, who's at Martin Luther College. And Professor Grubbs actually wrote to me, he's a member of St. John's Church here in New Ulm, and said they were considering posting a worship video on their website, and he was looking into the ramifications in terms of copyright. Wondering if it was better just to post the sermons or get into posting the full worship service. So we get these questions periodically, Martin, and it's always a good chance to go back and review some of the resources that we've put together. And my first words to him were, you know, I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on television. You know, it's some really complicated, on a podcast. There you go. And area that you want to be very careful about as you make decisions about what to post. So in that light, we've put together a page on the Wells Tech Wiki with a lot of links to different resources, many of which link to the website Christian Copyright Solver, where they have a lot of great resources that kind of talk you through things. Now, I think the people behind those fact sheets and information also have a licensing tool that they'd like you to subscribe to, you know, but they do share information about all the different licenses that are out there and stuff. We also interviewed on the show, and how long ago? Last February. So it's been a while ago. We interviewed Christine Laufer, who's with Northwestern Publishing House and works through their copyright issues. And probably one of the best resources I've found is the NPH copyright FAQ page where they answer a lot of questions about the NPH materials, the hymns that are in the hymnal and the supplement and different things like that. So those were some resources I thought Paul might find useful and shared with him and thought we'd share it with the Wells Tech audience as well.
Yep. Tough question. We get it a lot. One of the first questions you'll ask is really not a copyright question, but a question of viewership. You know, what will your viewers want to watch? Will they want to watch an entire service from start to finish? Are they going to participate? Who's the video for? Is it for visitors? Then maybe not the whole service would be necessary. They really don't need to watch, you know, 1,000 people run through the communion line, for instance. So you kind of have to think and pick who your audience is. And then if you decide, yeah, this is and should be an online experience or an online worship experience for those people, then you go to these resources because the easiest way and maybe the way most congregations do it now is just the sermon. But if you want to do the whole service, then you're going to run into these copyright issues and these resources. And at the end of the day, basically, you're going to need another license beyond the onelicense.net, let's say, that you might have or a lot of congregations have. You're going to need kind of an add-on module to cover online distribution of that same content. So.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, I'll just make mention there's a lively discussion going on over on the Wells Tech listserv. Our friend Gail Potratz from Emmanuel in New London, Wisconsin, wrote just this morning wondering what technology other schools and churches are using to lock and open church and school doors. So there's a whole industry behind automatic door locks and such things and controlling those electronically. And Gail asked for answers on that. And I think so far at least 4 people have chimed in with information about systems they're using. And I'm guessing more conversation will happen around it. Just a demonstration of the wonderful Wells Tech Listserv community that's out there to help you if you have technology related questions. So if you aren't subscribed, you might want to do that and certainly check out the Listserv archives for the conversation about door locks if that's of interest to your ministry. And that's what I got for community feedback.
Beautiful. As we mentioned previously, we're going to close out this series, Imagine That, next week. We mentioned the photo challenge. I'm going to give you another challenge. Give us some feedback of any sort on photography or otherwise, tech and ministry topics, how you use photography on your website, some of the challenges maybe that you have in doing that. Just send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. Let us know those things. Go to our website, wellstech.wells.net. Leave a comment on one of the shows. We'll pick that up. Go to one of the social networks. We're on all of those. Just let us know what you're thinking. We would love to fill up our community feedback section, maybe even to the point where we'll dedicate a show a month or something just to answering community feedback type questions and raising some issues that are raised there. It would be really awesome if we could get to that point. So take advantage of the fact that this is an open discussion and we want you to be a part. Sally and I by ourselves are extremely boring. You probably recognize that already. We would love to have you make up more of the show than you do right now. So don't just lurk out there. You can, if you want to stay anonymous, just let us know that. But give us your feedback. We'd love to have that.
Time to sign off, boring podcast partner of mine.
That's right. I think we've said we bored them long enough. They've stuck with us to the end, and now we'll come to a merciful close. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We will hope to talk or see you next week. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.